Okay, Rabbi Yisai, today's daf is daf Chav Gimel. We're starting the new Mishnah on the bottom of Chav Beis Amid Beis. Look to Mishnah. Morning, Reb Shloima. Good morning, Oisei Sukkasei Beroish Ha'agola Oy Beroish Ha'Svino. What happens if a person built a sukkah on the back of a wagon or on a boat? Now, that sounds kind of strange. However, even today, we find the Lubavitch sukkah mobiles, where you have a sukkah in the back of a truck that goes around from place to place. Is that a kosher sukkah? So, says the Mishnah, yes, ksheira. Even though it's Barosh HaGola, it's on the back of a wagon, or it's on a boat, it's kosher. But we'll see in Mechem and the Gemara that it's not so simple. In fact, it's a machloikis.
But with a boat, you don't have to worry about people barging in.
Excellent, thank you. So, on that high note, let's continue on. If you're also allowed to go into the sukkah on Yontif. As we'll see in a moment, there's no groisa chiddush in that. The reason why the Mishnah is telling us that is because of the reverse halacha that we're going to learn now. And that is, what happens if you construct a sukkah barosh ha'ilan? Just like you have these tree houses, so you have a tree sukkah, where you built a sukkah at the top of a tree. Oyel gabi gomel, or you put it on the back of a gomel of a camel, it's also kosher. However, ve'ein oylun lo b'yontif, but you cannot go in them on yontif. Why can't you go in them on yontif? Because both, when we're talking about trees, says in the Gemara, the ein mishtamshin, or ein oilen be'ilon, and the reason for that is because of Shema Yitloish. If we allow a person to go and climb up a tree on a Shabbos or on Yontif, you know what the person might do? As he's trying to climb the tree, it's not that easy climbing trees, at least not for me, and therefore it might become necessary to pull off one of the branches to make it easier to continue going up the tree, or just stop to have a branch in your hand. And the same thing applies to gemalim. Same thing applies to animals. You're not allowed to ride on the back of an animal on Shabbos. Not min ha-Torah, midrabanan. What is the drabanan? Because maybe the animal is going to be a stubborn animal. The animal is going to say, I'm not traveling, it's Shabbos. I don't want to move. So the person is going to go and rip off a branch of the tree to prod the animal on. So the halacha is, therefore, you're not allowed to go and ride on animals. So, if you happen to make a sukkah on Rosh Ha'ilan al Gabi Gomel, it's kosher, but ain't oilin b'yontif. So, what purpose of there is to have such a sukkah? You'll be able to go on Chol HaMoed. You won't be able to go on Yontif. Okay, first day Yontif, you won't be able to, but the rest of Yontif, in other words, Chol HaMoed from Beis until Zion, until the end of Yontif, you'll be able to go through Hoshana Rabba. So, that's good. So, since our Mishnah said, Ein oil lo b'yontif. That's why the beginning of the Mishnah starts off the oil lo b'yontif. Just la'afuke, the second halacha of the Rosh Ilan Agabi Agama. Azoi Zot Rashi. Now, our Mishnah goes a little bit further into explaining this, these tree sukkos. Shtayim b'ilan v'achas b'dayodim. Or shtayim b'dayodim v'achas b'ilan. As we've learned so many times since the beginning of our Masechta, the minimum number of walls of a sukkah is three. Doesn't have to be full three, it could be even two and a tefach. But you gotta have three walls. What happens if two of the walls are on a tree? One of them is bideyadam, they added a third wall through bideyadam. For those of you that have the art scroll, you see there's a very, very pretty tree, pretty picture with the two walls actually set in the tree itself, as well as the floor is set very nicely into the tree, but they added a third one, bideyadam, to the right, to the left. They added another third wall. Or vice versa. Shtayim bideyadam, yachas bi'ilan. In all of those cases, it's ksheira, because after all, that's the very halacha we just got finished saying, that if you made a sukkah, barosh ha'ilan, here we're making it a little bit lighter, if you will. Instead of all three walls in the Rosh Ha'ilan, here it's only two Rosh Ha'ilan. or two b'day yodam v'achas b'ilan. So certainly that's going to be an easier case. But the chiddush of the mission is, not only is it kosher, you still cannot go in on Yom Tov, because since part of the sukkah is being held up by the tree, whether it happens to be one wall, two walls, three walls, as long as it's held up by the tree, you got problems. You can't go on b'ilan because you are being mishtamish b'ilan, and you're not allowed to go and climb up trees on Shabbos or Yom Tov, like we said before, Shema Yitloish, he might come to pull off a branch. Now, when I'm Div Shalosh b'day adam b'achas b'ilan, three, this person was a machmir, and he made four walls to the sukkah, which is, like most of us make sukkahs with four walls. Three of them would be b'day adam. B'day adam means that they were on terra firma, they were on land produced by a person, b'achas b'ilan. You could have, for instance, a porch or a terrace or whatever, where you have three walls are from the house, or that you added, you built the walls, and one of them was the tree itself. But we mean that the tree itself is, it has to be elevated on top of the tree, because if just the wall of the tree, there wouldn't be a problem of Oyl LaBiyontif. Would you have to go up on Yontif? Just walk into the sukkah. So it means that it's elevated, just like we were talking about before, a tree house, you have a tree sukkah, but three of the walls are supported by walls that were produced b'day adam. Only one of them was b'ilan. Then not only is it kosher, but v'oyla b'yontif. Now you can go in on yontif. One of the walls of the sukkah is attached to a tree, because the haklal called she'inotol ho'ilan v'yachoyl lama b'vni'atzma. If you can remove that fourth wall of the ilan, and then the sukkah could support itself, meaning that three of the walls would be b'day adam. So the chagutah sukkah even without the ilan. So the ilan is really lo mal v'leimoyrid. Well, it is mal in the sense that you have to go up a few steps or climb up the ilan to get in. So it's mal. But it means that you don't care about that fourth wall, because who needs it? Zehaklal kosh yenotol ilan. If you were to remove the fourth wall, meaning the whole involvement of the tree, just take it out of the picture, and the rest of the tree, sorry, and the rest of the sukkah could remain standing independently. We don't need that fourth wall, neither for kashrus nor for the stability of the sukkah. Then it's kshoyer. But oyulav yontif, and you can go into the sukkah on yontif. You don't have to worry about that he's being mishtamish b'ilan, because I don't need the ilan. I don't need that fourth wall. I got plenty of walls without it. Anyway, going back to the very first halacha, the Mishnah says that if you make a sukkah b'roish ha-svina, that it's kosher. Says the Gemara, it's not so simple. Mani masisa Rabbi Kivi, tisanyu and the b'raisa oisus ukasa b'roish ha-svina, Ram Gamliel, poisel. Ram Gamliel says, no good. No good. Rabbi Kiva machshir, Rabbi Kiva says it is kosher. Oh, so the fact that our Mishnah says that if you build a sukkah b'roish ha-svina that it's kosher, that's exactly like Rabbi Kiva of this b'raisa. And now the Gemara or the b'raisa tells us an actual story that happened. Ma'aseh Ram Gamliel, Rabbi Kiva, she'yiboyim b'svina. Ram Gamliel and Rabbi Kiva were traveling together in a boat. We've had this for other halachas as well, that they were traveling together and they had not given trumas or maestris or whatever. Anyway, so we're traveling together and svina, and Omer Rabbi Kiva, we also sukkah b'reish ha-svina. It was sukkah's time, and Rabbi Kiva says, we have to eat in a sukkah. So he built a sukkah on the boat. On the boat. And that's Rabbi Kiva the Shitasi, that it's kosher. Rabbi Gamliel, of course, said it's not kosher. Guess what happens? Lamocha, the next day, Noshva Ruach, a wind came by, va'akrasa, and the whole sukkah collapsed. Omlirim Gamliel, Akiva, heken sukhasa, hey, where is your sukkah? And therefore, Rabbi Gamliel wanted to go and show to Rabbi Kiva, come on, you cannot make a sukkah b'roish ha-svina, it's not kosher. And guess what happened? A ruach came, and the whole thing is gone. That was the monologue, not even a dialogue, because we didn't give a chance to Rabbi Kiva to respond. Somebody has some static, please put yourselves all on mute. Zamoichu. Zokimon Omer Abaye. So Abaye now tries to limit the expanse of this machloikis between Rabbi Kiva and Rav Gamliel. Zot Rabbi. Tekuli Alma. Heichad Eina Yechol Lamed Baruch Metzuya Diyabasha Loy Klumhi. Any sukkah that cannot stand when a normal, regular draft, we're not talking about hurricane winds, we're talking about your normal, regular, windy day. If it cannot stand, Baruch Matsuya Diyabosha, Loiklami, that sukkah is worthless. Meaning, even if the first night, Baruch Hashem, it's nice and quiet, the atmosphere and the weather is actually perfect. It's 75 degrees, it's not too cold, it's not too hot. Everybody says, wow, I've never had a sukkah like this for the last 25 years. It's so geschmack, it's wonderful. And then someone says, oh, by the way, I understand that there's going to be a bit of a wind tomorrow. We're not talking about storm winds, a regular, normal Ruach Matsuya. And unfortunately, this sukkah is a little bit frail, and I'm afraid with the Ruach Matsuya may fall. Not only tomorrow won't it be kosher after the sukkah comes falling down, but even tonight it's not kosher, because since it's a sukkah, she'ena yechoy lamed Ruach Matsuya, lav klomi. Because everybody agrees it's got to be, at least be a diras aroi. So Rashi, afil diras aroi lehavya. You can't go and put up a dira even temporarily if you know that within a few hours or a day or two, the thing is likely to fail when you're going to have, or likely to fall when you have a ruach metzuyah. So therefore, even at those moments when it's still, quote-unquote, stable and standing, this is gunish vet, it's worthless, and it's not a good sukkah. That everybody agrees to, both Rabbi Kiva and Ram Gamliel. Yechol lamed b'she'ena metzuya diyabosha. What happens if the sukkah is able to withstand b'she'ena metzuya, even hurricane winds? Kulyam v'pligid k'sheira. Boy, this is a good, strong sukkah. A hurricane is expected, storm winds of 80 miles an hour, and nevertheless, they predicted that this sukkah will withstand that. That is kosher. Now, the reason why the Gemara is focusing on whether it's Yechol Lamoid B'She'ena Metzuya Diyabosha, after all, we're talking about a sukkah which is not on the Yabosha, but it's on the Svina. So Rashi immediately points out, and we'll see this as we go through the next couple of lines, that the definition of a Ruach She'ena Metzuya Diyabosha, that's exactly the same as a Ruach Metzuya Diyah. Meaning that winds over the seas are far more prevalent, and those winds typically are strong winds. That's presumably the reason why you have high tides. But of course, I'm not an expert in high tides or low tides. Presumably, somebody's going to go and say, ah, you have high tides or low tides every day of the week, even if there is no wind. Regardless. But the point is that if it is even just regular winds over the sea, is deemed to be the equivalent of an unexpected ruach she'ena metzuya, a stormy wind by Yabasha. So when you see these words, that yechol lamed b'she'ena metzuya diyabasha, that means that it's able to go and withstand a ruach metzuya diyam. It's kul yamu lipli g'dikshera. Even Ram Gamliel would agree to Rabbi Akiva, that if this is a very sturdy sukkah, you really built it in a very strong way, then even Rabbi Gamliel would say, I'm going to go into that sukkah, I'm going to use Shelley's expression, I'm going to barge in, just in case Rabbi Akiva declines to offer a generous invitation, I'm going to go in and I'm going to make... Now that's of course not true, because a sukkah she'ula or sukkah gezula is not kosher. You have to be invited into somebody's sukkah. If otherwise, if you're not invited, you're not yotze. That would be...
But you should wish him good tidings.
Good tidings. Oh, beautiful. I love that shalishkoich. Anyways, so getting back to our Gemara, we're on our way, Rabbi Sai. So what does the Gemara say? Kuli amaloi pligi, that if it's yechoyle lamed b'she'ena metzuya diyabasha, everybody agrees that it's kosher, which means that if it's a ruach metzuya diyam, your normal, regular winds diyam, everybody would agree, kosher. Keep pligi with machloikis. But yechoyle lamed b'ruach metzuya diyabasha, it is stable enough that had this sukkah been on dry land, then with your normal ruach metzuya, your regular daily average wind, it's sufficiently stable. However, v'ein yechol lamoid, Now, in our Gemara, it says Baruch She'enu Mitzuyah Yabasha. However, they changed the girsa, and it really is the same. You'll see in Oiz Beis, it's Be'ini Yechoy Lamoid Baruch Mitzuyah Diyam. And remember, that's the legal equivalent. The Ruach Mitzuyah Diyam is the same thing as Ruach She'enu Mitzuyah Yabasha. The reason why they changed is because the Gemara is going to use that expression in another two lines, as we'll see. Okay, so once again, the sukkah is able to withstand your normal daily wind bayabasha. However, it's not able to withstand the ruach metzuyah deyam. So it's a pretty strong sukkah, but for the normal, regular winds over the yam, this is shanish, it doesn't have that strength and that stability. Here we have the machloikas. Rav Gamliel says a sukkah is diras kama ba'inan. Rav Gamliel says that a diras sukkah has to be strong enough that you could use it for diras kama. Of course, everybody agrees that you only live in a sukkah for 7 days. The question is, what is the strength of the fortifications and the walls of that sukkah? Rav Gamliel says, don't make me a shack or a hut that can only exist for a week or for a month. It's got to be the type of dwelling that you could theoretically live there the entire year. And therefore, v'kinim d'eini yechol lamed baruch metzuyah diyam. You see, that's where these words come in. Where the Gemara said, v'eini yechol lamed baruch metzuyah diyam. Since it cannot withstand your normal, regular winds over the ocean, then loy klumi, then this sukkah is worthless. Even if it'll be able to stand for a day or two. However, because it's not a diras kva, it cannot withstand these ruach metzuyos on an ongoing basis. Lav klumi, it's no good. But if kiva sava sukkah diras aroy beinon, no. Sukkah diras aroy. Thank you, David. Sukkah diras aroy beinon. The sukkah you need only for 7 days. Kim dechoy lamed ruach metzuyah diabasha. As long as it's able to withstand your normal ruach metzuyah diabasha, meaning, had this sukkah not been in the back of a svina, if it would be in the middle of somebody's backyard or on somebody's porch, somebody's terrace, it would have been a good, nice, strong sukkah, because assuming no hurricane winds here in New York or New Jersey or wherever you happen to be, we're not talking about on the high seas, talking about those places where typically you don't have hurricanes. I think there were hurricane warnings yesterday in New Jersey. But regardless, getting back to our Gemara, since it's able to withstand your normal ruach metzuyah diabasha, zok tachdor Rabbi Kiva, it's kosher, because I don't need a permanent structure. I just need this type of temporary structure for 7 days, and if as long as it can withstand the ruach metzuyah diabasha, it's kosher, even if it might not withstand the ruach metzuyah on the high seas, on the svina. That's the machlokes. And even Mepharshim, I think, the Sfasemis and others ask, how does Rabbi Kiva justify such a sukkah just because it's able to be omed baruach metzuyah diabasha? We're not talking about a sukkah bayabasha. We're talking a sukkah on the river, on the sea. And if that's the case, if it cannot withstand the ruach metzuyah diyam, what does it help me that if I would transport this sukkah to the yabasha, it would stand? Shkoyach, mazel tov. But where I happen to be, Basher Husham, there on the high seas, on the Svina, it won't stand Baruch Metzuyah. How is that going to help? So no Farshim Muchenzach a little bit to understand Rabbi Kiva's Svar. Anyway, but bottom line is what we've concluded is that the halach of our Mishnah is not so simple. In fact, it's a machloikas of Kiva and Rabbi Gamliel, and it's not in all cases, but only in the limited case, like Abaye said, where it's able to stand Baruch Metzuyah the Abasha, but cannot withstand the Ruach Metzuyah Diyam, where then Rabbi Gamliel says no good, and Rabbi Kiva says it is good, and it's dependent on whether you need Diras Kva or Diras Aroy. Okay, on to the next case. And our Mishnah says, Oyal Gabi Gomol, if you put in the back of an animal, says our Mishnah, it's kosher, the Ein Oilin Lo Beyonta, but you can't go on because you now would be Mishtamish, the Bali Chayim, on Shabbos or Yatif. Our Mishnah Lechoyer goes according to Rameh, the Sani, Velim, the Rabbi, so Isisu Kose Al Gabi Behema. If you make a sukkah on the back of an animal. Now, how do you make a sukkah on the back of an animal? It's interesting, Rashi in the Mishnah did not comment how you make a sukkah on the back of a gomel. That apparently was considered to be fine and normal. Here Rashi says, it's talking about, for instance, you take two animals together. If you see Rashi about 10 lines from the top, he takes two horses, presumably he puts on a common yoke on both of them so that they stay together. And now you put the dulosais. Remember, we had a few days ago in the Gemara that at the times of the Beis Hamikdash, when they were making a new paras chatos, a new paraduma mechatos, they would go and have the tanoikis sit there on the back of the delas, on the back of the shvarim. See, here too, they're putting a dulosais. In other words, it should be a terra firma, a flat board, a flat ground on top of the two susim. Then karkois the sukkah, and that is the floor of the sukkah. And they built on top of it on all four sides, four walls, or at least three walls, and put on tzchach. Is that a kosher sukkah or not? So our Mishnah said, yeah, you could put it in the back of the gomel. But as we see in the price, it's a machloik, it's a sign, yoises who cause the agave behema. Remeir machshev Rabbi Yehuda poisel. Remeir says it's kosher, Rabbi Yehuda says it's possible. So our Mishnah obviously is Remeir. Frank, you want my time with Rabbi Yehuda, what's the problem? Remeir Lechoyd is right. On my crocus, it said in the Pasik Chagatu, Sukkois tas lechosh shivas yomim. Sukkah re'uya leshiva shma sukkah. Sukkah she'en re'uya leshiva loy shma sukkah. Says Rabbi Yehuda, since it says in the Pasik, Chagat Sukkois tas lechosh shivas yomim, what's the tas lechosh? Tas lechosh means that you build your sukkah. The sukkah has to be a 7-day sukkah that you can use it all 7 days. But here I cannot use it all 7 days, because the first day of sukkah is I'm not allowed to enter into the sukkah. Why can't they enter into the sukkah? Because of the iser of being mishtamish bebalei chayim. So I can only use a sukkah for the next 6 days. Day two through Hoshana Rabbah, through day number seven. No, so it's not a sukkah that'll be kosher for 7 days, it'll only be kosher for 6 days. Zokdach the Gemara, Zok to Yehuda, Loishma sukkah, no good. Rameir, Honami Midaraisa Mechsi Chazia. Says Rameir, remember this pasuk is a pasuk in the Torah, and this pasuk is saying that Min HaTorah you have to make sure that the sukkah can last for 7 days and that you can use it for 7 days. Min HaTorah you're allowed to go into the sukkah even on Shabbos and Yom Tov. It's only Midrabbanon, Rabbanon who the Gazruba. And therefore, Min HaTorah is a kosher sukkah. So even though Midrabbanon I cannot go into the sukkah, but since Min HaTorah I can go into the sukkah all 7 days, it's a kosher sukkah for all 7 days. So what does Rabbi Yehuda hold? Doesn't Rabbi Yehuda know that the din of the Isser of going into the sukkah on Shabbos or Yom Tov because of the Gemalim, because of the Susim, is only Dirabbanan? So what is the problem? So Rabbi Yehuda holds, I don't care whether it's Dirais or Dirabbanan. Bottom line is, can I, a religious Jew, can I go into the sukkah all 7 days? And the answer is, no. Why can I not? Because Chazal told us you're not allowed to. That was the Gzeira Drabban, you're not allowed to go in the sukkah on day number one. No, if you can't go into the sukkah because it's Yom Tov, then you cannot make it for 7 days. It's only a 6-day sukkah. And if there's Shabbos in the middle of Chol HaMoed, it's only a 5-day sukkah. So it's not, says Rameir, come on. Min HaTorah, you can go in all 7 days. Says Rabbi Yehuda, you're right, Min HaTorah. But bottom line is, can I go in today? In year 2021, Tovshin Pei Aleph, can I go in on Shabbos and Yom Tov in this sukkah? No, because the Chachamim were geyser. So therefore it's not a sukkah for 7 days, it's a sukkah only for 6 days, only for 5 days. And the Teilu Zokdach, Chag HaSukkah Stas L'chosh Shivas Yomim. That's why Rabbi Yehuda holds that it's possible. See, it's possible not only, of course, on Shabbos and Yom Tov, but it's possible throughout Chol HaMoed too. Because since it's not a 7-day sukkah, it's only a 5-day, 6-day sukkah, no good. You cannot use it even on Chol HaMoed. So it's a machlokes of Rameh and the Rabbi Yehuda, and our Mishnah is going according to Rameh. Talking more about the soul of Behema doifin the sukkah. What happens if you make him? All the cases that we were talking about is that the sukkah was al gabe gomel, al gabe svina, al gabe hoagola. Now we're talking about that the sukkah was on the floor. And you took a behema and used the behema for a doifin for the sukkah. You said to the behemah, here, I'm going to pay you $5. You stay nicely for the next 7 days. Don't move, don't flinch. We'll, of course, supply you with food the whole 7 days and with water. But stay here. Don't move. Asonu behemah doing for the sukkah. We made the behemah into one of the three walls of the sukkah. Is this kosher or not? Now, I don't have to be mishtamish b'balechayim. I don't have to climb on top of the behemah. Make sure not to hang your jacket or your shtreimel or hat from the ear of the behemah, on the tail of the behemah. Just leave the behemah there as a wall. So you won't be mishtamish b'balechayim. That problem goes away. Can I use a behemah as a wall for the sukkah? Zokti Gemara, Rameir says, no good. Rabbi Yehuda Machshir, Rabbi Yehuda says, it is good. It's ironic, because we just had Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda a moment ago. If you make the sukkah on top of the behemah, Rabbi Meir said that's kosher. Rabbi Yehuda says it's possible. Here, if I'm using the behemah not as the floor of the sukkah, I'm using it as the wall of the sukkah, Rabbi Meir says just the opposite, poof, I care that it's possible. Rabbi Yehuda says that it's kosher. Now, obviously, you have to understand what's the reason. Says Rameyer, anything that has ruachaim, that means any living animal, that's our case here, don't make it a doifin for the sukkah. As we've learned many times, back in the Sechtes Eiruvin, and we've had it here in the Sechtes Sukkah not too long ago, that to be able to go and carry within a movi she'enim afulash, a cul-de-sac, a dead end, you have to go and put up either a lechi or a korah. Machloikis, whether it's mishum heker or mishum machitza. Our Gemara is not going into that. But the point is, you have to put a lechi. What's a lechi? Lechi means a vertical pole. Now, vertical pole doesn't mean that it has to, you have to buy it in a svarim store and it has the heksher of the vedat, that this is kosher for a lechi. Anything that can serve service as a lechi is good. So you can put any type of pole, whether it's made out of metal, whether it's made out of wood. The point is you put it in front of the mavui entrance that people should say, hey, what is this pole doing over here? I don't see a no parking sign on top. So what's the purpose of this pole? I know why. It's a mavui to remind us. It's Shabbos. You're not allowed to carry from the mavui into the Rishasaram. Rishasaram into the mavui. You can't go and carry in the Rishasaram. Could you go and put an animal over there? People wonder, what is an animal standing there the whole time? For the lechi. You're not allowed to make a lechi from an animal. Lechi lemovi. Now you're probably all thinking to yourselves, come on, this is not practical. Because after all, isn't the behemoth going to move? So we're going to talk about in a moment about tying down the behemah, that it shouldn't move, it should be immobile. Nevertheless, Dr. Chermeyer, lo yidag l'sukkah, you can't make it a doif a wall for a sukkah, you can't make it a lechi for a mavut. Lo yipasol l'birois, pasol l'birois we've also had a number of times, and that is in the times when the Yidin would be oyle regel, and they forgot to bring along their Polish spring water, or they were Hungarians and didn't want to drink from the Polish spring water, and so therefore they had to have a source of water. So they were boros or be'erois en route. But what happens if they had to stay over in a place over Shabbos? Can they draw the water out of the bar? No! Because the bar typically would be the dimensions of Rishus HaYachid. They'd be bringing it up into the Rishus HaRam where people are traveling, and therefore you're being moitzi min Rishus HaRishus. So what they did is they put a pasi birois, which means they put a dyoimdin. Dyoimdin means they put up four posts on all four sides of this bar. And those posts had an amma to the right and an amma to the left. They were right angle posts, where the post was not just a simple pole, but it jutted out, let's say, to the north an amma, and to the west or the east an amma. And they had the same thing in all four directions. So it's like if you imagine like you have a picture frame where you have on all four corners, you have an L-shaped corner. So that would be the four pasi berois. What happens if you wanted to use a behemah as a pasi berois? Answer is no. For like going like what happens if you want to use an animal as the covering over an oroin? Not a very practical thing, but you didn't have a cover for the oroin. You want to put such a cover on the oroin in the form of an animal. You cannot use the animal for it, and if you did, it would have halacha legabe that it would not be makabel tumah. meaning normally halacha is a golel v'dofek. A golel v'dofek, golel is the cover. Dofek is a machlokes, Rashi Tos is exactly what that is. But the point is that the top lid of the oren itself is mekabel tumah. If a person goes over and touches the kisi of an oren, it's mekabel tumah, even if it happens to be within the oren a tefach of open space. So therefore, it's not the tumah of the mess remains within the oren. This is a special din. It's based either on a halacha l'moshe v'sinai. We learn it from a pasuk. Rashi brings a pasuk called Pnei Asod l'Rabbis Goyel v'Doyfek, that the goyel, the kisi of the oren, is also mekabel tumah, and don't touch it. Okay, says Rashi in the middle of the Amud, if you put a cover over the oren in the form of a live animal, what's the halacha? It would not be mekabel tumah because it does not become a goyel. So in this respect, as the Gemara will point out tomorrow, we have one kula. All the other halachas that we've learned until now are chumrais, that if you didn't have any other material, you cannot use an animal for a doifin, for a sukkah, you can't use it for a lechi, you cannot use it for a pasim. So those are all chumras. Like goyel kever, if you used an animal for the cover of a arayim, it would not be makabel tuma, not like your standard golel, and so therefore that is a kula. I mentioned the Gemara, we'll talk about that tomorrow. Basically, the Omru Aven Koysen Olav Gitinoshim, you also cannot go write a get on an animal. What's the reason why? Mitchum will see again based on Sukkim, the Gabe Hilchoy's Gitin. That Mitchum will see again tomorrow. So, Frank Dimoyetz, my time to the mayor. The reason why we brought this whole discussion, this whole Braisa, is because it's a mayor that said that you cannot make a doifin for a sukkah with a balchai. Why not? My time to the mayor, Abaye Amashema, Thomas of Zera Amashema Tibrach. Abaye says, because the animal during Shabbos or Yom Tov may die, and therefore you're not going to have your third doifin. You've been relying on this animal for a third wall. If the animal dies in the middle of Shabbos or Yom Tov, you're going to be stuck with two walls. So Shema Thomas cannot go and build a sukkah based on an animal as one doifin. Reb Zeira says, no, Shema Tibrach, maybe it will run away. The animal is, after all, a behaima. You can talk to the animal as much as you want, from top to bottom, right to left. Of the behaima help shows the reason why the animal doesn't listen, because it's a behaima. So therefore we have a machloikis, the svara of Rameh. So Zokimar, the pil kosher. Let's not talk about your regular standard animal. Let's talk about an elephant. If the elephant is kosher, is tied down. Kuliyamale pligi, dinami mayis yeshvin ve'losoy yud. Everybody would agree that even according to Rameh, this would be a good doifin l'sukkah. So if you want to make a real impression on all the children, even the adults in your community, with your sukkah, go and buy an elephant or rent an elephant, tie it down, and you could make a third wall with this elephant. Why? Didn't Rameh say you can't? Well, the answer is, what's the problem of Shema Yomus or Shema Tomus? The problem is that the animal will collapse, fall to the ground, and I won't have a 10 tvachim sukkah. It's got to be 10 tvachim high. Guess what? This pill started off as 30 tvachim, 20 tvachim. Even if it dies, the massive nevela will still be more than 10 tvachim tall, so it'll be kosher. And kosher as it. Sorry?
I think even Shelley would agree that even in Eretz Yisrael, it'd be little appeal to use an elephant.
Ah, beautiful. Shkoyach. A very appealing statement. So, getting back to the Gemara, so that is if the pill, if you have a pill.
If it dies, you have something that is recovered tumor.
Absolutely. Nobody's suggesting that we should go and use the pill for the schach. Only the schach is there a din that it cannot be mekabel tumah. A doifin of a sukkah.
Like there's
no dinim of tumah by a doifin, only by the schach. And therefore, if you want, in fact, in many hotels, many places, they make these huge sukkahs, they make it with matkes. They have some of the walls, some of the supports are metal. No problem with metal walls, the only problem with metal schach. Same thing is.
You would think another concern would be maybe tying up an animal. You're afraid
is going to flee. Your freight is going to run away.
Oh, so that's exactly what the Gemara is talking about. The reason why Reb Meir said you cannot use an animal for a doifen is either because maybe it'll die and you won't have a 10 tvachim tall sukkah, or like Reb Zeira said, Shema Tivrach, maybe it will run away. Oh, yeah, David, you're on the ball. David is saying this is all pull. But we're not talking about a pull, we're talking about the pill. Good, very good. Anyway, so getting back to our Gemara. So our Gemara is saying is that the two reasons why the mayor holds that it's no good. Either because the animal will die and now it'll be a shorty, less than 10 tvachim, or because it'll run away. So says the Gemara, I have a good eitza. Go and take an elephant, so I don't have to worry about that if it falls and dies, it'll be less than 10 tvachim. It's higher than 10 tvachim. And you also don't have to worry about that Shema Tivrach, because just tie it down. So you're going to tell me, well, it might break through your average ropes, so go and tie it down with chains. Tie it down in such a way that it can't run away. So Kuli Amali Pligi, that it would be a kosher sukkah if you have a pill kosher. Tinabi Ma'is Yishman Glossi Yud. And it cannot flee because it's tied down. So keep thinking with the machlokes between Abaye and Reb Zeira. What's the reason of Reb Meir? Keep thinking with pill she ain't a kosher, a pill that is not tied down. The man the Meshemet Thomas said it might die loy chashin, and then there's nothing to worry about because even if it dies, it's still going to be a dolphin of 10 tvachim or higher. The man the Meshemet Thomas said it might die loy chashin, but I have to be knowing this, it might run away because it's not tied down. That would be the machlokes. Thank you, my 1 second. L'man yom exeid Hashem etomus nechashema tivrach. Just like you're concerned that maybe the animal will die, there's a certainly an equal concern, and perhaps even a greater concern, that it's going to run away. What's the likelihood that this animal is going to die within the next 7 days? Yichweis, 1%, 5%. Mash'enkin shema tivrach, after 10 seconds it may say, you want to make this beautiful sukkah with a beautiful elephant, I'm not interested. I'm out of here. You know, I want to go back to the circus. I'm not interested in sticking around. So then certainly you should be choshe shema tivrach. Why would this man the Yom say, no, I'm not worried. Sintimo, you're right. Elo afaket, bepil she'ene kosher, kuliyamale pligi. If you're talking about a pill that is not tied down, everybody agrees the sukkah is not kosher, because everybody would agree, Shema Tivrach, maybe this animal will walk away. It doesn't have to run away. The animal will walk away, and the sukkah will platz. You only have 2 walls. So everybody would agree that in such circumstances, not kosher. Keep thinking, where's the machlekes? The behema kishura. Behema meaning non-pill. Your regular, average, gomo, sus, short, regular animal, which that animal is a chvais 12 tvachim from the ground. It's a fairly large animal, very good. But what happened? And it's kshura, and it's tied down. Islam yam exeid Hashem et tomus chashim. I got to be noivus. It'll die. The animal will collapse. It was 12 tvachim until now, but after it collapses, it'll only be 8 tvachim from the ground, because we're not talking about a pill anymore. So that's why I don't use it. Islam yam exeid Hashem et tivrach, that it's going to flee. I'm not choshesh. Why not? Because it's kshura. It's tied down. So that lechayr will be a good nafkimah. Frankly, more the man yom exer shema tivrach necha shema Thomas. Even the man yom that holds shema tivrach that it's going to run away. Why isn't he concerned that it's going to die and it's going to now collapse and it's no longer to be 12 tvachim and only be 8 tvachim? The man misa leshchicha. Like we said before, how likely is it that the animal is going to die? I mean, we're talking about a non-sar balachayim. Otherwise, you're going to have the pita people bring you to court and to the police. So we're talking about that they gave food and drink and nash plenty for the entire 7 days. That wasn't the problem. So the likelihood that it's going to die is remote. But I do have to worry about Shema Tivrach. And therefore, because of the fact that it's tied down, I don't have to worry about it. Freitim of Iker Ravcha de Beni Beni. Your average animal, think about it, the animal doesn't occupy the entire wall. Because after all, between the legs of the animal, there is space. And Rashi says, presumably there is space higher than 3 tvachim. And once again, between the 2 legs, presumably there's a lot of space. And so therefore, won't that undermine my wall? And that's a grace appearance. So even if the animal lives, in particular if the animal lives, how do I have a kosher wall? From the floor until its belly, I have all of that open air space. Every more the oven lay behutz of a dafna. What they're talking about is that he filled up that space by putting on like a small little partition made of hutz of a dafna. Hutz are lulavei dekel. In other words, we have all of these koshelach that you use for purposes of the three minim for the lulav and the arubis and adasim. So you go and make such a little partition made out of that type of material, very flimsy material, but just enough to fill up the space, a filler between the legs. Vegemar v'dilma rava, maybe the animal will decide to crouch. The animal itself is taka 12 tvachim tall. Yeah, that's good. But during the whole yontif, the animal will say, you know what, I'm getting tired of this whole business. And therefore it decides to kind of crouch. I guess it'll have to be careful not to go and hurt itself on the hutz of a dafna. So it'll crouch in such a way, maybe it'll just sit on the whole hutz of a dafna and the whole thing will collapse. But the point is, if that happens, guess what? This 12 tefach animal will now go to 8 tefachim or 5 tefachim. It'll sit down. It's talking about that you're holding up the animal on top with ropes and strings to make sure that it decides not to go and lie down. Right, the Gemara, Ulamad Yom, Xavier Shem Thomas, Nami, Hamaticha, the Ashley Miliel. Just like you're telling me, I don't have to worry about that the animal will lie down or crouch because it's being held up. I don't have to worry about Shem Thomas because even if the animal dies, it's being held up artificially by these strings and therefore it's going to be higher than 10 tvachim. Zech Gemara, you know, you got a point, but Zimnan, sometimes the Moikim Bepochis Mishloisha Samuch Leschach. Says Rashi, what happens if the animal is kind of a shorty? It's not a real big animal that from the feet, from the floor, until the top of the animal is 12 tzvachim. Maybe the animal is only, l'mashal, 7.5 tzvachim. 7.5 tzvachim. But I got good news. I'm going to put that animal slightly on a zashtikl platform, or I'm going to elevate it somehow, and now I have less than 3 tzvachim from the ground, so that less than 3 I have the benefit of lovud, 2.9 and 7.1, or maybe just leave the animal, don't elevate it from the ground, just leave it where it is, but I'm going to have in between the animal and between the schach, I'll have something holding up the schach won't be held up in the back of the animal, I'll have poles holding up the schach, so there's an airspace of 2.9 tvachim between the top of the animal and the schach, 2.9 and 7.5, I have over 10 tvachim. However, if this animal is going to die, zim the moikim b'pach b'shleif v'samach l'kashach, the kivan onto the amid beis, the kivan the maisa, if it dies, kavta, it will shrink a little bit. Not a lot. A little bit. V'lav adaita, and he won't even notice. Remember, this whole animal was only 7.5 tvachim tall, or 7.1 tvachim tall. All you need is a drop of shrinkage. The 7.1 will turn into 6.9. You add your 6.9 to your 2.9, and I don't have 10 tvachim. I'm of Gehaktitzurus. V'lavadait, and you won't even notice, because of the fact that it's not nikur, says Rashi. The whole difference is between the 7.1 and 6.9 is a kleinigkeit. He won't notice that the animal has gone down and deflated. Okay.
Even if it's a, you know, the animal's alive, you should have that problem. It's going to go up and down and be, you know, it doesn't stand totally still and erect like a Buckingham, you know, palace soldier.
One of the beef eaters. So it's nice that you refer to the beef eaters because of the fact that we're talking about an animal that potentially, if it's a cow, it could be beef. But the point of all of this is, you're right, Brother Shai, but that's why the Gemara said, we're talking about, number one, that it's kosher, and that it's also ashli rav ravi, or ashli maticha, but ashli mele'el, that you have the ropes and strings that are holding it as taut and as erect as possible. So the assumption is, and as long as the animal is alive, it's not going to be able to go and crouch and sit and fall and collapse because it's being held up. But if the animal is dead, then that top of the animal will shrink a little bit, it will shrivel up a little bit, and therefore even though it's being held up by these ropes and all the rest, but still the shrinkage will cause the 7.1 to go down to 6.9. It's a mashu, but you only need to lose a mashu because it was holding by a thread. It was 7.1 and there was 2.9 of airspace. Now if the 7.1 goes to 6.99, you won't even notice the difference. It's such a small little thing. And therefore, that's why I'm choshish.
So if you don't notice it, it's still kosher, right?
If you don't notice it, it's still kosher, yes.
It's just like a quorum at a public meeting. Unless someone calls it out, you can still be without, you can be without a quorum and still vote.
Ah, okay. Well, thank you for sharing that with us. Anyway, beginning back to our Gemara now.
You didn't have a one-point measure to that. It was correct. You have to say it was Mamad al-Kaskasa, that it was, at one point it was good. You can't just say,
You're saying that maybe one should say kosher because at one point it was kosher and then have a chazaka. Well, number one, maybe that's the reason why Rabbi Yehuda is machshir. Remember, we started off, asav behem v'doif in the sukkah, maybe it's poison Rabbi Yehuda is machshir. And therefore, maybe the Rabbi Yehuda is machshir, like you're saying, because we rely on a chazaka. Or maybe the reason for Rabbi Yehuda is loy chashin and lamisa. The likelihood that the animal is going to go and die during this 7-day period. What's the likelihood? I mean, the average. Beautiful. So that's going to be the next Gemara. That's a beautiful segue into the next Gemara. So says the Gemara, Kum techois yet, what's the machloikis between Reb Meir and Reb Yehuda? Remember, we had a machloikis, what was the sfora of Reb Meir? Reb Meir was the one that holds that if you make a dofen l'sukkah of a bal chai, of a living animal, said Reb Meir, no good. What was the reason for that? Abaye said Shema Thomas, Reb Zeira said Shema Tivrach. So we had that machloikis, and we said the nafkamina would be if you go and tie it down. Then you don't have a Shema Tivrach, but you do have a Shema Thomas. But putting aside that discussion, let's focus on Abaye. Abaye says Shema Thomas. The reason why the mayor says it's no good, I'm afraid Chai Shinon Le Misa. Afraid to Gemara, Umi Omer Abaye, the mayor, Chai Shle Misa, Reb Yehuda, Loi Chayish. Is that what you're telling me? Vatnan, we have a stira between a Mishnah and a Braisa, legabi hilchois truma. What's the stira? You have a Bas Yisrael, Shinisif HaKoyin, you have a Yisraelis, who's married to a Koyin. Everybody knows that as soon as she gets married to a Koyin, she's allowed to start eating truma. Vazok the Mishnah. V'holech balam dina siyom, what happens if her husband had to go away on a business trip? And we're hoping that Amir Hashem, he will return. But during that period of time that he is away, hopefully he is alive, but there is a possibility that Chas V'Shalom, he passed away. There might have been listed mizuyon. There might have been a plane crash. There might have been a wagon crash. What do I know? Who knows what happens? Says the Mishnah, Oicheles betruma betcheska shulkayim. You can continue eating truma based on the chazaka that if the koyin was alive when he left on the business trip, presumably he's still alive. A chazaka of chayim. Okay, that sounds very straightforward. Rabbeinu Allah, but there's a brisa that says Har Zekitech Shua Agas koyin misasi. You have a koyin that's going on a trip, and he says to his wife, "You never know what can happen. I'm going to give you a get." That if Chas V'Shalom you read about my obituary in the newspapers, and it wasn't an exaggerated obituary like by Mark Twain, I think it was. Anyway, if you hear that Chas V'Shalom I passed away, this get should be chal an hour before or a minute before I pass away. You're wondering to yourself, why would a person write a get that it should be chal a minute or an hour before he passes away? Anyway, when he passes away, they will no longer be married. You can't be married to a dead man. So says Rashi very simply. It's talking about a situation where, unfortunately, the couple has no children, and we're afraid that Chalila v'chas, if the husband passes away, she is going to have to either have a yibum or a chalitza. And if it's a suffix, she'll have to have a chalitza. And what happens if her brother-in-law lives far away in Australia? Or what happens if that brother-in-law is not a nice guy? And he's going to say, I'll give you a chalitza, but you got to pay $100,000. Or whatever. As we know, there are difficult people out there. So the husband says, my dear wife, I'm going to save you from any potential agony. If Chalila b'chas, I die, this is a conditional get that will be chal an hour before my passing. Okay, fine, good. Now, that husband, in this case, happens to be a koyim, and the wife wants to continue eating truma during the time that he's away. Shtei techdo, Asura lechol betruma miyad. As soon as the husband says goodbye, be well, sei gesund, farewell, etc., from that point on, she can no longer eat truma because he might pass away. Freikachaych, didn't we just say a moment ago, oicheles betruma becheske shul kayam? You can keep on eating and eating and eating until you hear otherwise. So this is the exact same case. She should be able to keep on eating because what's the likelihood that he's going to die and then the get will be chal? Hopefully it's not going to happen, like the Mishnah says. You have a chazak shul kayim. So you have a stira. V'yomer Rabbi Lekash, it's not a stira, it's a machloikis. Hora meir deloy chayish lemisa. Hora Yehuda dechayish lemisa. It's Rameir that is not choshish for misa, and Rabbi Yehuda that is choshish lemisa. So now before we continue, you see already the kasha of the Gemara. We just got finished saying on the top two lines. Go back to the top of the Amud. Umi Amar Abaye, Rameir is chayish lemisa. Rabbi Yehuda loy chayish lemisa. Here, Abaye, the same Abaye, answered the stira between the Mishnah and the Braisa by saying that the Mishnah that said that she can continue eating truma as long as she wants, b'ches shukayim, that's Rameir to loy chayish lemisa. And the Braisa that said, harzegitech sho'achas, also lechem b'truma miyad, that goes according to Rabbi Yehuda, the chayish lemisa. It's just the opposite of what Abaye said at the top. So it's not so much a machloikis or a stir, a meir and a meir, a bihud, a bihud. It's a stir, a bay and a bay. That a bay in the top says a meir is choshish lamisa. Here the same a bay says that a meir is not choshish lamisa. And the same a bay that said on top, Rabbi Yehuda loy chayish lamisa, here he says a bihud is chayish lamisa. Now the easy answer would be, you know, switch it around and say that the Mishnah that says that you are not chayish lamisa, that's Rabbi Yehuda. And the Braisa that says that you are Chayish Lemisa, that's Rameir. But the problem is, the Sanya, Abaye has proof positive that Rameir is the one that says, I'm not Chayish Lemisa. Where do I have that proof positive? Zokti Braisa l'kechiayim v'beina kusim. We've had this Braisa already before, in our Masechta, in Masechta's Yuma, in Erevin. It comes up about 6 or 7 times in Shas, that a person bought wine from the kusim. Immediately Rashi jumps in, 1 second, don't think based on this braisa that you're allowed to go and buy wine from the kusim, because in Masechtas Avodah Zarah and Chulin, a few places, it says that the kusim eventually, as you know, from the first moment there was always a machlokes with the kusim are geri emesein or geri arayis. Were they real true converts or the bunch of phonies? The only reason why they were converted was they were afraid to be eaten up by the lions. That's a story onto its own in Tanakh. But anyway, beginning back to our Gemara. The Gemara says, initially it was a big machlokes, but over time, unfortunately, these kusim showed their true colors, and they eventually erected a statue on the top of Har Gerizim, and they used to go to Har Gerizim to go and bow down to it, and made it into an Avodah Zarah. And even until recent times, I don't know if this still happens today, but even until recent times, the Kusim, or the Shamronim, or the Karoim, that were their, at least their spiritual descendants, used to go every Erev Pesach, and they would go and put up an altar, and bring a korban, even in recent times, on Har Gerizim, to that statue there. So that's a form of Avodah Zarah, and of course it's not a Beis HaMikdash, so this bringing that korban there was of course ridiculous. But the Karoim said, no, when we're talking about the Beis HaMikdash, the Beis HaMikdash are not in Yerushalayim, the Beis HaMikdash are on the top of Har Gerizim, a lot of nonsense. But putting all of that aside, the Chachamim eventually found that the Kusim were Oiv the Avodah Zarah on top of Har Gerizim because of that statue, and therefore there were goyzer on them, kegoyim gimurim lechol divrayim, and therefore you're not allowed to use their wine, and that's why yayin of kusim is awesome. So says Rashi, this braise is talking about in the early days when you could still buy wine from kusim. Now the question is, did the kusi give trumois or masris? And once again, Rashi points out that if you were talking about demai, buying from an amaoret, roiv amaoret ma'asrenhein, and kol amaoret, all of the amaorets gave truma because Number one, chita achas b'teres ha-sekri, with a small amount you can be yotze the din of truma di oiraisa. And number two, if you're eating tevel chas v'shalom, then there's a din of misa b'dei shemayim. Nobody wants to get involved with misa. So therefore, Amoritz all uniformly, unanimously all gave truma. However, the kusim unfortunately did not give truma, and by they, says Rashi, it's not a question of demai, it's a question of vadai. You have to give trumas and maizers when you go and buy wine from the kusim. Good. So that's what you should normally do. Go, you buy a barrel of wine, pour off wine for truma and for maizer, and guess what happens? This is either talking about Friday night, it's already too late to go and give. You can't go be mafresh shumas and maizers on Shabbos midrabbanan because of gzeira mishum tikkun mana. Or Rashi says it's talking about even during the week, or not during the week, mamish on Wednesday or Thursday, they wouldn't permit it. But it was Friday afternoon, so you could technically still give shumas and maizers, but he didn't have kelim to horim to go and pour off the truma. You're not going to be metame truma, and so therefore, what am I going to do? So this brisa is the basis of all of the gemaras that talk about yesh breira, ein breira, where it says, alekiach ha'ami ben akusam, I bought wine, and I cannot pour off the wine either because it's Friday night or because it's Friday before Shabbos, and I have no kelim to pour the wine into. So what he says is, shnei lugin shmi osir lahafrish, and miyatsi shematzi Shabbos or Sunday, I'm going to go and be mafrish my truma. Apparently there were 100 lugin in this barrel. So he says, 2%, 1 out of 50. Shnei lugin shmi osir lahafrish arihen truma. Asura Maiserishin, 10 will be Maiserishin. Not exactly 10, because since you're going to give away 2, you're going to have 98, so it's going to be 9.8. Oh, so, the price is just talking in broad terms. 10 Maiserishin, Tisha Maiserishin, once I take off the 2 and the 10, I'm down to really 88, so I only have to go and give 8.8. But nevertheless, Tisha Maaseh Sheni, we round it up to 9 for Maaseh Sheni. Umeichel b'shoi samiyat. And on Shabbos itself, you could be mechallel the Maaseh Sheni. As you know, Maaseh Sheni, either you have to bring it to Yerushalayim, or you have to be mechallel it on money. You can be mechallel on money, because you don't have to touch the money. I have the money set aside in one of my drawers on the right-hand side. That money was to be mechallel Maaseh Sheni. On Shabbos itself, I'll say, the 10% for Maaseh Sheni should be mechol miyad. And then, b'shoyis miyad, you can go and drink, even on Shabbos, even though technically the truma and maaser is still within the barrel, says Rav Meir, it's not a problem. I don't consider this person to be over the barrel that he has no choice. He can go and drink on Shabbos and Yom Tov, based on his being able to go and be mafish, trumas and maaseris after Shabbos, and it's going to be work, lima freya. And that's what we call yesh breira. A beautiful Yosef, Rav Shimon, Oysen, they say that it's Asur. Now what is the pshat? Ultimately the Gemara is going to tell us tomorrow that the Machloikis is Yesh Breira, Ein Breira. But at this point the Gemara assumes that the Machloikis is whether or not I'm concerned that the barrel may burst on Shabbos. And if the barrel bursts on Shabbos, all the wine is going to pour down the drain, and I won't be able to go and take my hafrosh of truma and give it to the kohen, and I won't be able to go and give the 10% to the levi. I won't be able to go, well, the maaser sheni I took care of, but I'd be stuck as far as the truma and the maaser is concerned. Says Reb Meir, I'm not noivis, I'm not concerned, it's not going to happen, and therefore you can drink. Say Reb Yehuda, Reb Yosef Shema, oh no, I am very much concerned that shema yiboka hanoid, maybe the barrel is going to burst. Says Rashi, Madach, I'm concerned that maybe the barrel will burst. Certainly I'm concerned about Mises, or that maybe a person will pass away. What is the Kolshken? The Kolshken is elementary, because unfortunately everybody since the beginning of time, except for perhaps Eliyahu HaNavi, everybody that's ever been born has passed away. So it's going to happen one day or another. Mash'en came, a barrel theoretically could last even 100 years, 500 years, 1,000 years, who knows? It could last a long period of time. So if I'm worried about that the barrel is going to go and break, I certainly have to worry about that maybe Chas V'Shalom, the person will break, the person will die. So Kumtachois says Abaye. Since I see Reb Meir says, I'm not concerned about the bursting of the barrel. So presumably Reb Meir holds and he's not Chayish Lemisa. While Reb Yehuda and Reb Yois Reb Shimon, who say that it's also, I'm worried about the bursting of the barrel. So they are certainly worried about Chas Shalom Shem Yomus. Ah, so that's the basis of Abaye saying that Reb Meir is not Chayish Lemisa and Reb Yehuda is Chayish Lemisa. So I have a stira. Abaye before said to answer our questions about the doifin that's based on an animal, Vayam Chayish Lemisa, Reb Yehuda is not Chayish Lemisa, and here I see it's just the opposite. And for the Gemara, Epoch, let's switch it around. Reb Meir is Chayish Lemisa, and that's why he holds in the case of the doifan of the sukkah, don't use it, maybe the animal will die and it'll shrink. Reb Yehuda is like Chayish Lemisa, and therefore you can use the animal. What about those two Mishnais and the Braisa, Lagabe, the eating of Truma, whether the married lady is allowed to continue eating Truma? The Mishnah that says she can, Becheska Shukayim, that will be Reb Yehuda, that loy chayish lemisa. And the Braisa says, Harizegitech, don't eat Truma anymore, that will be Reb Meir, that's chayish lemisa. And that stems very nicely, because Reb Meir is chayish lemiuta, and therefore it's chayish that somebody will die. Fine. But what am I going to do about this Braisa, where Reb Meir is not concerned about the bursting of the barrel, and Reb Yehuda is? Epoch, Taka, switch it around. Remei is Chayish Lemisa, Reb Yehuda Chayish Lemisa, and decided based on our Braisa. So the Bain doing for the Sukkah, Remei appoints Reb Yehuda Machshir. So Abai and Abai is now clear. In both the case of the Sukkah and in the case of the Truma, Reb Meir holds Chayish Lemisa, Reb Yehuda loy Chayish Lemisa. But now I have a Stira, not an Abaya. I have a Stira, Meir, and Reb Meir, Reb Yehuda, and Reb Yehuda. Kasha, Reb Meir, Reb Meir. Because here Reb Meir says, I'm not worried about the cat. In the case of the Doif and the Sukkah, Reb Meir is concerned that the animal will die. Why isn't he concerned about the Bekiyas HaNoid, that the Noid will die? Amalek Reb Meir. Mise Shchicha, that an animal will die. What's the life expectancy of your average animal? I don't know, 5 years, 10 years, 20 years, whatever. Then the animal gets ready 25 or 30, it's considered to be a zokeh. It's supposed to be a shana alta bahima. So misa shchicha, it's highly possible the animal will die. The kiyas a noy shchicha, you can have a noy for 500 years and it doesn't break. So loy shchicha. So I'm not choishu the kiyas a noy. Moreover, even if I see that the noy is about to burst, you know what? Ekshin muscle in the shomer. The entire Shabbos, I can say to a shomer, Shomer, I wanted to drink from this wine, and there's a problem. I wasn't able to give Truma some maestris, so I already was mafresh. I said the 2%, the 10%, etc., which I'm going to physically be mafresh on Matzah Shabbos. I'm going to pay you money, or I won't pay you money. Do me a favor. Sit here for the rest of Shabbos. Have a rotation. Have 20 people, each one doing 1 hour. Watch this barrel that it doesn't burst, and if you see the Chas V'Shalom, the barrel will burst. Schnell, hold the barrel together with your two hands that it shouldn't burst until the end of Shabbos. You can't hold a person with your two hands. You can go and hold the barrel. You can't hold out the cup. Anyway, so Reb Meir is fanfit. Reb Meir holds that I'm choshish lemisa of the animal, but I'm not choshish lemisa of the night. But kasha d'viyad Reb Yehuda. Here Reb Yehuda says I'm not choshish lemisa by the animal, and by the night I am choshish. The reason Reb Yehuda has nothing to do with Mekiyas Anoid. The reason why Reb Yehuda says, also you're not allowed to go and give the Trumas and Maestris on Shabbos with Lamafreya, and Lamishim Delesle Breira. The reason is because of the Loch of Breira, having nothing to do with Mekiyas Anoid. I think we'll stop over here. We could continue on the Sugya for the next 10 or 12 lines, but that would cut into Shabbos' blood. So we'll stop here. So the machlok is therefore, according to Reb Yehuda, has nothing to do with Yom Bikiyas Anoid, Nish Bikiyas Anoid. It has to do with Yesh Breir or Ein Breir, and therefore it has nothing to do with our sugya about whether I'm concerned about Chayish Lemisa of the animal or not. Okay, Rabbi Yisai, on that high note, any further questions?